Well, I can't think about anything else. We're still on this rich man who was just rich toward himself and not rich toward God. So let's open up to Luke chapter 12 again. Put a marker in Matthew chapter 6. You know, there's this prophecy. I think the reason the Lord's bringing this all up right now is the prophecy that came on October 23rd about speak against the strongholds of lack and declare an abundance. And really, that was the Lord reminding us. He said virtually this identical words through Dave quite a few years ago. But if he was saying it quite a few years ago, how many knows the need is greater now than it was then? You know, we're more near the end now than we were then. And God has been putting to doubt. I'm telling you, I remember hearing Dad Hagen say this years ago. He said, the devil will fight you harder over the money than salvation or healing or anything else. And he said the reason for that is in his pride, he honestly believes that the money belongs to him. He really does. It's the part, you know, he's called the God of this world, little g. Everyone say little g. God of this world system. And he talks about, you know, all these kingdoms have been delivered unto me, and Jesus didn't refute that. He considers it his, see. But to be honest now, with much of history, when people in the church did get rich, the church became as much an oppressor as most tyrants that got rich, you know. And individually, people that would get money. Dave was teaching a series many years ago. I believe it has the word entrepreneur in the title. Gospel Entrepreneur. And I believe it's still available at his website. But over and over again, he would say this. He said, by the time you start off with good intentions, I'm going to be an entrepreneur for God. I'm going to steward money. I'm going to do this. But, you know, they start off with a business, start doing something, whatever it is. But he said the problem is, usually by the time that that person has the money, by that time, the money has the person. And that's sadly true. It's I've seen it. I've been around a long time. And anyway, well, let's stay with Scripture, okay? Let's read this again about this guy. There's not many guys in the Bible that God himself calls a fool. Do you remember in the Old Testament it said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, this guy here, no matter what he says, he's living like he's never going to have to give account of his stewardship. In fact, he has no mindset of stewardship at all. My life is about me. My money is about me. My day is about me. Everything is about me, me, me. Well, let's read about him. And let's pick it up in verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, that's the subject. Covetousness. In modern terms, it's plain old greed. What is the mantra of the flesh? There's two songs that the flesh likes to sing. Yeah, well, mine, mine, mine is one of them. Here's another one. It's all about me. It's all about me. How about this one? What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. And there's never any end to it. It's like the horse leech. It's like the barren womb. There's never any end to it. Never, ever. There's not many that he says, fool. At the end of this, he calls this guy a fool because he lived his life like he's never going to stand before a holy God and give account of his life. We are going to stand before a holy God. I'm looking forward to that day myself. But I believe we're going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servants. Amen? All right, verse 15. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Now, let's stop for a moment. At this point, we went back in the old covenant, and we thought about when God brought his people out of Egypt, and they had nothing. They had riches and gold and nowhere to spend it. Y'all remember that? They plundered Egypt. But in the wilderness, there's no Quick Trips, no Macy's, no Sears, you know. And for 40 years, it says he humbled them, allowed them to hunger. What was the purpose? that they could learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So his first lessons to those people was how he did the manna. And he could have designed the manna any way that he wanted to. But he designed it the way he did because he wanted them to understand him. So quickly, again, reviewing, what's the number one lesson you learned from the manna? Here's the question. I never will forget. I was praying those early days, just praying till my lips rolled off on the floor, and you pick them up and pray some more, you know. And I heard him ask me this question. What seed does a man sow to reap a crop of manna? There is no seed. What was he teaching them? His provision is by his grace. His provision is by his grace. Now, with that, he had a lot of other lessons. Again, that manna would disappear in the heat of the day. You couldn't lay around with the snooze alarm until noon. You know, he's teaching them to be diligent, get up, go gather. But he also taught them this. And Paul quotes this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. Well, God designed the manna that way. I can just imagine, again, when that manna first started appearing, you know, you had guys my age, you had young guys. This morning I used my Track Star Co., 13 years old, guy, a kid can run like the wind. How many of you know I don't? I'm not as fast as I used to be, okay? So, in that competition, who would gather much? Well, Cole is going to gather much, and Papa's going to gather some, see? But, you know, after about the third day, when you find out, now maybe you even tried to keep it overnight. I've got abundance. Okay, good. I've got abundance. I've got more than I need. I'm going to keep this for the tomorrow, because you never know about tomorrow. I'm going to keep it and hide it. Well, they tried that, didn't they? And what happened? Had worms and stank. So, you know, after about the third or fourth day of gathering this abundance, yet you find out you only get your portion, wouldn't most people quit gathering abundance? And I bet most of them did. But God was looking for some hearts, and this is exactly what he's looking for right now. Now, this is the crux of what he's doing with these teachings in this season, with you and those of you watching. He is looking for people that have been purging, mortifying the flesh, and edifying their spirit to the point that he can trust you to gather much and it not all be about you. He that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. Because I can imagine after about the third or fourth day, normal human thing, well, if I don't get to keep it, why do I work out there gathering it? And there's others that have need of it. How many, I don't know about you, I'll just talk about, I was rescued by the message preached by Dave Roberson. It saved our life. We were the biggest basket cases you ever seen the day we walked through the doors of this church. And he used all that revelation knowledge to rescue us and put us back on track and get back into the plan of God. And been around the world. I've preached in Africa, preached in that heathen country of Canada. I've preached in Europe. I've preached in Asia. You know, and it ain't over yet. We're just getting started good, see? You know? But this rescue meant, this message rescued us. But you know, most of the church world, most of the world does not have that message available to them. They don't know anything about it. They don't know there's a Dave Roberson on the earth or anything about why they should pray in tongues. Or if I talk with my relatives, I'm telling you, they believe fasting died with the apostles. Absolutely. They think I'm crazy. They think, what? Nobody. What? Well, that's not even healthy. And I try and show them from the word where it is. And they go, no, it's not. I'm getting some witnesses here. Well, God's looking for some people. And let's just start there with the manna. Who, you figured it out. Okay, I have the ability to gather more than what I need for my own life. Lord, you found a servant. I like that fellow I was talking with who literally works for a major ministry. And it's a good one. If I mentioned it, you'd know the ministry. And his job is to go talk with people, roughly my age, retired people, you know, 65, 70, 75. But they're still in good health. And they're probably drawing their Social Security, maybe living off their 401k or whatever. That's fine. God, this morning we went through those scriptures. Remember? After you build goodly houses. God's not against you having a goodly house. And I finally found my scripture. Doug and I, that's going to be our number one scripture. After you have eaten and are full. I knew it had to be in there somewhere. I'm going to tape that on my bathroom mirror after you've eaten and are full. Anyway, God's not against you having a full belly. In fact, God does not like it when little children go to bed hungry or when there's lack in the house. See, he does not like that. Okay. But what God's trying to raise up is a people that will. Oh, this fella, his particular job was to talk to people my age, most of them retired, and show them the needs that are there. And so, you know, if you can picture, you know, my age, and Ralph is talking to his wife, Matilda, and he goes, "Well, Matilda, you know, we can still work. We can make some money. And wherever they're living, they're living. I mean, their needs are met, you know." And they're going, "You know, we can make it." And this is his words, not mine. "We can make an extra $300 or $400 a week to help." Now, to most people, the idea of giving an extra $300 or $400 a week is just like, oh, that's just crazy. That is so easy. $200, $300, $400 a week above and beyond what you need. I don't even get any sympathy amens when I... The concept is completely lost to the church. The concept is lost. I may have to go do it myself just to show you can do it. I can give me a lawnmower. I'll make some money this week. And I know how I can bring it to Dave Roberson Ministries and not put it in my own pocket. Now, we'll have to buy some gas, and I have to set back a little bit for taxes because I don't do anything illegal. Amen? Obey the law of the land. But there'll be some money left over that I can bring. I'd get a job at Brahms. They'd be smart to hire me. They might look at me and go, "We ain't hiring that old man. You'd like me better than them teenagers you got working for you." I'm honest to a fault. I'll work hard. And one thing I know that this generation doesn't, I will follow instructions. Even if I think you're wrong and I can do it better, I'll do what you tell me to do because you're the boss and I'm not. And I'm smart enough to understand that. Anyway. It's just the truth. It ain't bragging if it's so. Now, and most of y'all would be the same way. You'd be the same way. See? Okay. Boy, I'm going to try and read this. "The ground of a certain rich man," I notice he was already rich. This is not a guy in poverty. Let's say it this way. His needs were already met. Say it with me. His needs were already met. "And his ground brought forth plentifully." And we went back to Deuteronomy 8. Is that not exactly what God promised? "I want to bring you into this land. Some of you is going to be wheat farmers. Some of you be barley farmers. Some of you going to be miners. Some of you is going to have olive presses." But occupations, jobs. And his plan was for them to prosper and have abundance and build goodly houses. And even he said, "Your gold and your silver be multiplied." He's not against you having a decent life. But he's had a big warning back there. When all that happens, don't forget the Lord your God. I like to say it this way now. Don't forget the lessons I taught you in the manna. Don't forget what abundance is for. Don't forget about if you're already rich and you have all this more abundance coming. Don't forget the Lord your God. Don't forget the lessons I taught you. Who is that abundance for? "So he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.'" Do you notice that I and the my? There's no hint of stewardship mentality in there. "And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and all and my goods. And I will say to my soul." And this sounds like the American dream almost, you know. What everybody wants. "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." And that's almost like the American dream. That's what they program you to do. You know, work hard and set up your retirement plan. And God's, again, I have to go back. Leave it all in context. God is not against you having a goodly house. He expects your needs to be met. He expects you to even have some abundance multiplied in gold and silver. But there comes a time when enough is enough. Or at least there should be. How many barns do you need? When is that enough barns? This man was already rich. He already had extra barns that he wasn't even using. And now he's got so much more. Not a thought about the poor. Not a thought about a starving kid in town. Not a thought. My barns. My increase. My retirement. God's not against you living well and having enough. He is talking to us about being rich toward God and not rich toward ourselves. So let's keep going. Verse 19 again, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, he doesn't do this very often, doesn't use this word very often, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. Say it out loud. Treasure for himself. And is not rich toward God. Say it after me. And is not rich toward God. Go to Matthew 6. Because Jesus uses virtually those identical words teaching over here. Matthew 6, starting in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. How clear is that? In the light of the rich man, is that pretty clear? Now notice, if you underline, for yourselves is the key word there. He just got through saying that guy's a fool who laid up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Now let me just stop there for a moment. I have read the biographies of some wealthy men over time. As soon as they have money, they have stress. I've actually heard some of them say it's easier to make the money than it is to keep the money. Because all kinds of strategies and competition and absolute espionage, corporate espionage, scams, everything in the relatives you never knew you had and probably don't have, trying to get the money. And so a big part of their life now is, oh, now I made it. Now how do I protect my barns? Can I say it that way? How do I keep my barns protected? And it produces a lot of stress in their life. But he says, well, the key is don't lay up the barns. Not for yourself. Not for yourself. But lay up, this is what you lay up for yourself. Treasures in heaven. What is the treasure of heaven? You people, I was going to turn to it. Luke 16. Let's do turn to it. Hold your place. We're coming right back there. Luke 16. This is where he talks about the unjust steward. And yes. Let me find it here in this Bible. All right. Look at verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least, and he's talking about money. He that is faithful in that which is least. This is Luke 16:10. Also is faithful in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, he's talking about plain old money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Well, he's not calling money the true riches. What is the true riches? The true riches is people. That is what this gospel is all about, to seek and to save that which is lost, to heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, everything that Jesus said when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. All of that. That's the purpose. And people are the treasure of heaven. But notice he watches how you steward your money to find out how you would handle people. Not a single sympathy amen again. Nobody wants to hear that. You know, I mentioned it once. I got real quiet the other time I mentioned it. So I'm not looking at anybody now. Come on. I said, well, what if your rich man showed up at your house? I said, let's go over your checkbook. I want to see how you've been honoring the Lord with your finances. Would you be ashamed? Nobody moving. And I don't blame you. And many of you would not be. Many of you would not be. I wouldn't be. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't be. Best as I know, I'm obeying him. You can always give more. See, the devil will tell you you got to give it all the time. That doesn't sound like goodly houses, lands, silver and gold multiplied to me. No, it's a balance, okay? What he's wanting is for you to live well, but to help spread the kingdom of God. It's just so simple, okay? But he's looking for some people. And he says here, if you haven't been faithful in that which is little, you're not going to be faithful in that which is much. And he takes that one step higher. If you haven't been faithful with money, if I can't trust you with money, I'm not sure I can trust you with people. Look at verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Now see, right there is that stewardship mentality that rich man in Luke 12 had no capacity. He had no understanding of that at all. My fruits, my barns, my life, my everything. He had no concept. What? This isn't all mine? What? I've been bought with a price? What? I'm a steward? What? The king might have something he wants to do with this money? No, no, no. It's mine. Mine. It's all mine. But from Jesus' point of view, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's. See, my Bible tells me that you and I have been bought with a price. Whatever I have it from him anyway. And by golly, if he asks for something, it's his. I've had things down over the years, and I'm not permitted to give details, and it doesn't matter anyway. You could give stories too. In the natural, he'd have us giving a certain way to us. Maybe what these stories mostly are not normally church; it's individual certain things. And in the natural, it looks like, oh God, we got to stop. You know, pretty soon we're going to be in the soup line ourselves, and my natural mind will come up with, we're going to have to quit giving right there. And then when I get in prayer, the Lord says, double your giving. Triple your giving. Don't tell anyone this. This is a secret. He's not worried. He's not worried. He fears no lack. He's not afraid of lack at all. He can make wine from the water when there is no grape. He's not afraid. We look at the checkbook balance, oh God, oh God. It's because we don't know him. And again, Alan and I both, Alan's testimony is real similar to mine, how we had to learn how to trust God with the finances, you know. And Alan and I both, in a court of law, I know from our heart, would have swore on a stack of Bibles 4 foot high. Do you believe God is your provider? Absolutely. Until we had to live it. And the bills are coming in and the money is not. And you're obeying him and the money is not coming. And I mean, you're going to find out if you're moved by what you see. You're going to find out if you know him as provider or not. Hallelujah. Okay. Back to Luke. No, where were we? Matthew. Back to Matthew 6. Verse 20 again. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Boy, here it is right here. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, from that is where I come up with that statement. And we don't like it. I'm going to use me, not you. See, anybody can go through Gary's checkbook and find out where my heart is. Yeah, they can. Because my treasure follows my heart. It's not a big mystery. We'll just look through your bank account. We'll find out where your heart is. I can tell you right now, if you follow suit like that, I can tell you right now, grandchildren. That's where her heart is, man. I have to hold reins back on that woman. I have a, I don't mean that in a bad, and listen, my wife, if I want to keep money, I trust it with her. I have a godly wife. I can trust her. But boy, you take the reins off just a little bit, that Lily will have every kind of shoe that the store sells. Cole will have every kind of band instrument, whatever it is that he needs. And I believe she got that from God. See, that's that heart, but that's where your treasure is. Your money will follow that. Okay. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee is darkness, how great is that darkness? That's hard to understand without the next verse. What causes the darkness? Trying to serve two masters. And that's America. No man can serve two masters. It blinds you. Money is going to tell you the exact opposite of what God says just virtually every time. And I'm talking from many years' experience. Money will say, you better not give that much. You don't know what's going to happen. You better hang on to that. No. And have all these natural examples to use. And God will say, what are you worried about? I'm your father. I want you to take care of that bill for that lady. I want you to pay for this. I want you to do this. Are you my steward or are you not my steward? Who do you serve? Y'all getting anything out of this? Yeah. Now, it takes a while. He doesn't start you off. Well, he might. It's been my experience. He doesn't start you off at the $1 million level. You know, he starts you off with us at the $10 level. I've told you that story so many times. And it was hard for me to let go of that 10 bucks. It was harder to let that $10 go than years later to write a $5,000 check. And I hope to write a lot bigger ones than that. A lot bigger. Okay, let's keep going here. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Boy, if you underline, you cannot serve God and mammon. Most preachers will try and get you to serve both. I'm telling you, Jesus cannot lie. And you are going to serve one or the other. See, Dave, when he would teach on this, he did such an eloquent job, like he did on all of them. He'd say, you know, there's two ways to serve mammon. There's money and mammon is mammon. Anyway, there's two ways to serve mammon. Most people, the way they serve it, is they have such a lack mentality that they go through their whole life like the Gentiles. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Man, I got to work overtime. And it's all about my needs and the needs of my kids. And that's a normal, worldly, earthly, human love. Okay? And it's not all wrong, but it's evil compared to God. So most people go through their whole life, or they're trying to get more of the stuff. You know, the other way they do it is like, oh, he who dies with the most toys wins. The truth is, he who dies with the most toys still dies. You know, that's the rich man, right? And you're going to face a holy God that you thought that you were never going to stand there. You're going to stand there. But see, now, then Dave would bring out this aspect. When it comes to preachers, people that really are doing their best to serve God, here's how they wind up serving mammon. Maybe God purges them of the love of the stuff, or they're not really seeking after mammon anymore for riches' sake. But God will tell them, I've been here so many times, God will say, I want you to do this. Oh, okay. You pray and you fast and you pray and you get quiet and you do everything that's taught here and you finally heard God and he gives you an instruction. And here's what most of us do. Oh, thank you, thank you. We turn right around to our other god, mammon, and we go, can I do that? Because your checkbook normally will tell you no. It'll normally tell you no. So many of us have said, I want to step out on the water. You're about to step out on the financial water. And it's just as supernatural as walking on the natural water. But you'll see him come through again. Let me tell you, I'll just tell you straight. I know you've heard this, but listen to somebody that's walked this a while. Where God leads, God provides. You are never going to prove yourself more righteous than him. He cannot lie. If he says, I will pay for this, bless the Lord God Almighty, he will pay for it. He will finance it. You have a provider. See, and Jesus is trying to free his disciples up so they don't go through their whole life like the Gentiles, afraid of lack, serving mammon for fear of not having enough. So, verse 24 again. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And in the Greek, you might as well know this. That word thought, I love the King James. David sitting right there, I love the King James. But they didn't do us a great job on that particular. It's anxious thought. You look it up in the Greek, any Greek lexicon, take no anxious, worried thought. Doesn't mean you can't plan about paying your bills next week. Take a thought. No, he's saying don't worry. Don't get into anxiety and worry. Take no anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall you put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. Now, do you think he's going back to the mammon? He is going back. He's trying to put them in remembrance. Again, he's going back to the manna. Excuse me. He's going all the way back to the manna. Because see, he's comparing these birds here. They don't sow. They don't sow. Now, is a farmer supposed to sow? Absolutely. But he's taking them back to the beginning. What did you learn in that 40 years? What did you learn? Does manna come by? What seed was it you sowed to reap that manna? His provision is by his grace. Look at the birds. They don't sow. They don't gather in. They don't reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? I have tried that. I'm short. A cubit is from the elbow to the wrist. Boy, I would like to have that. Take a thought. Doesn't work. Yet he says, in other words, why? If you can't do that, why worry about the money? Okay. Why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not and they don't spin. In other words, they don't make their own colors. They don't make their own clothing. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Don't spend your life like that. Look, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. And I like how Dave said it. Almost from the birth to the grave. That's their life. But your heavenly Father, you have a Father. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all, say all, all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now what's he trying to do here? He's trying to free up his people from worry. From a mentality that, a lack mentality. Like, oh, I better have bigger barns. It's always bigger barns. I need bigger barns. And there's no end to the bigger barns. He does want you to have enough. He doesn't care if you got a little savings account or maybe, I don't think he cares if you have a fairly good savings account. But can he add a million to you and it not be yours? How many amens did you hear right there? Can he? Now I'll give a tithe. Okay, great. Now you're going to be a tither. Now you're going to go back under the law. Mm-hmm. I've actually had people say things. Oh, all of a sudden, 90% is mine, 10% is his. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's old covenant. We're in a new covenant. Let me read a few notes. This man, the rich man in Luke 12, he's living only for himself. All of his actions are in regard. All of his actions are with regard to his own self-interest. It's all about me. It's all about me. my barns. I need bigger barns. Okay. Now notice, he says, so is everyone who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This man, he has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. All of his inheritance is right here on earth. He has no riches laid up. He's not using his money like Jesus taught in Luke 17. Use the unrighteous mammon for the purpose of the gospel so that the two treasures of heaven, people, can be harvested. He doesn't have any thought like that. This guy's affections are all fixed on this world, and he has none for God. Now, there are several, many things we can learn from that parable. Wicked people are often greatly prospered. Did you get that? Just because somebody's rich does not mean they're of God. Look at the drug dealers. Okay? Look at the pornography industry. Look at Hollywood and all, I don't mean every movie, but 99%+ is just pure filth. Yet the money, and I could go on industry by industry, just because somebody is wealthy doesn't mean they're not wicked. And it sure doesn't mean they're a steward. Okay? Riches always bring an increasing load of cares and anxieties if you consider them to be yours. It's a wonderful thing to be free. I don't know many, and I hate to say this, but I can't give anything but my own testimony. I was the guy. My whole life, even after I became a Christian, was every decision I made. Where are we going to live? How does this affect how we're going to educate our kids? What kind of car are we going to drive? What about my retirement plan? I was the guy. I know what it is to live like that. I have all that kind of concern. And Sue and I did pretty good. Somebody was bragging the other day about making a six-figure income. Honey, Sue and I were making a six-figure income in the 70s. Okay? Come on now. But it is pretty good. That's back when six figures was six figures. Okay? And I'm telling you, I'm more happy now. I'm more blessed now. I live in greater joy. And I have everything that I need. I got everything done. Lily asked me, I drive an older car. It's a 2008 car. My granddaughter, I was taking her to school. I said, Papa, if you could have any car on earth to drive, what would you like to have? And I'm going, this one. I love that car. It's a perfect car for me. It starts when I want to start, stops when I want to stop. It's a great car. Has air conditioning in it. I love this car. Doesn't hurt my back when I drive it. What do you want in a car? Well, mine has to be whatever. Anyway. Riches, if you're going to keep them for yourself, if you treasure the riches, it's going to always bring an increasing load of care and anxiety. Riches have a way of stealing away your affection from God. Little by little, the toys get you. I heard one preacher say one time, he was a really wealthy preacher. He said, yeah, for years, he said, I have a cabin in the Ozarks, and I like to have those all-terrain vehicles, and we had a ski boat, and we had a motorcycle boat, whatever you call those, a ski-doo. He says, man, I had all these keys in my pocket, and it took me a few years to learn. I was a slave to every key. Because I got to have maintenance, and you got to keep them from being in a fire, and you got to protect them from being stolen, and even if not all that, you get to enjoying those too much, and maybe you don't enjoy God so much. And they can steal your affections. The anxiety of a covetous man, greedy man, he doesn't lay there thinking what good he might do with his wealth. He's laying there where he may hoard it and keep it secure from doing any good. Now, I read something today that I had not read before as I was studying this out. In biblical times, those barns, you know, we're in Oklahoma, so we think of barns like a red painted barn, you know, wood structure. The barns that they stored them in then were underground. They were underground. And, you know, in their minds, that was the most secure place to put them. And that, so I had this image of this guy burying his money, and I went, oh my Lord. The devil is using rich people to make treasuries of Satan protected from ever being used for the gospel. And he's using greed to do it. I said, oh my God. Every one of those barns was held back from the master's use. And Satan applauds. He doesn't care how many barns you have, as long as none of that money ever makes it to the gospel. Am I preaching good? Okay, I'm preaching good. Yeah. I'm just going to finish here. The path of true wisdom is to seek first the kingdom of God and be ready to die. Now, I had a little hard time. I told my mama the other day. Now, by the way, I'm not planning on dying. We got to talking the other day. My mom is 95. My mom will be 90. She's closer to 96 now. She'll be 96 in January. We were talking the other day. I said, Mom, I don't have any plans of leaving, but I'm ready. I said, no, I'm not looking to go, but I'm ready to go. And I really am. I'm ready to go anytime. And I don't, that, you know, if you have that attitude for me to live, Paul said, I'm trying to get to where Paul said about himself. To me, as far as Paul was concerned, for me to live is Christ. God, I want to be there. That's my whole goal. To come to that place where for Gary to live is Christ. And that means Gary's ready to go anytime. It's not even my life being lived anymore. I'm just ready to go. Well, boy, that frees you up. That frees you up. See? So if you have that attitude, it matters little what your portion is here or how suddenly or soon you're called away to meet the judge. If our affections are not fixed on our riches, then we can leave them without regret. Okay, I'm going to finish with this story. And I've told this story before. And again, I don't know how to tell. I don't know how to teach without giving my own testimonies. In the early, early days when Sue and I were trying to learn and walk out these things. You know, first we're trying to believe that they're not going to shut the electricity off. I mean, there is a part believing for your own needs. But we did one of those things where we did a petition. Now, remember, this was early on. We set a petition. We wanted to give $5,000 in a single gift to Dave Roberson Ministries. And I had no job, no Social Security, no, there was nothing, okay? And again, this, you know, I'm praying God doesn't shut the lights off at the house. I mean, the utility company doesn't shut the lights off at the house. But now I'm thanking God for this $5,000. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We confessed it every day. Sue and I would agree, confess everything that you know to do. I wish I had kept better track of how much time it took. It took a while. It wasn't a week. This was maybe, I don't know, a few months maybe. But suddenly, God moved, and there it was. We had it in the... It's one thing to say, you're going to give that $5,000? Now, I'm exaggerating a little, but not very much. Now, if you can picture me and Sue in our living room, and we have windows, and at the time I was driving this horrible little white Chevrolet S10 pickup. And I was always raised as a pickup guy, but I want the V8. I want when you turn it on, it goes lava, 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 you know. I mean, I want a pickup, you know, a man's pickup. Well, somebody... you know how I lost the first one. God had me give it away. And then, so what does he give me back? He gives me this little S10 toy pickup. I mean, driving it, it sounds like this. Instead of going lava, 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 it's going ying, 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 and you shift. Ying, 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 you know. I'm so wanting to trade that for something bigger, you know. And at the time, we was living in this house, and it needed carpet. I'm just telling you, it needed carpet bad. We needed carpet. Okay. Now, it wasn't quite like this, but here Sue and I are. We've written the check. We're at home. Now, again, I'm exaggerating a little to make a point, but there was something in our heart. It's almost like we're trying to agree with this and have joy about giving it. But I think my eye, my right one, just the right one. I couldn't stop it. It looked out the window towards that little pickup. And the thought came, boy, if you had that $5,000 in that pickup, you could trade that in and get a good pickup. And about that same moment, I saw Sue's left eye. She couldn't stop it. It looked down at the carpet. She's thinking, man, we could really use some of that money. See, you'll find out. Do you have the money? Does the money have you? We couldn't wait till the next service to come and put that money in the bucket. Thank God we did. And then it was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you'll find out. All of this sounds easy till you're walking in it. Then you're going to have your own testimonies. Y'all getting anything out of this? Say it with me. Say, Lord, you have found stewards that you can trust. And I'm one of them. Lord, my needs are met. You show me how to funnel more money into your kingdom. And I'll do it. You found a steward you can trust. You get it in my hand. And it goes into your kingdom. I do not fear lack. And while I'm at it, lack, I speak against you. I speak against the strongholds of lack. Go, I said. Leave my house. Leave the prayer center. In Jesus' name. And I call in an abundance. Abundance. Be in the name of Jesus. Now then he said, take my word. So we've got that PDF for you at the website. Just print them out and say them. Spend some time doing it. You'll be writing your $50,000 checks, $100,000 checks. Amen. You will too. God's not kidding. He said if we obey him, we will see change. Did you hear him say, this place will see my abundance? Yeah. Boy, I've got that right on my bathroom mirror, man. Hallelujah.